Welcome to Clarity Lab, where I talk to leading health and science experts to educate, inform, and dismantle misinformation. And if you are a human on this planet in 2025, you probably know what a problem misinformation is. I'm Derek Barris, and Clarity Lab is the official podcast of Cyrus Health, a 501c3 nonprofit I founded to build a free educational platform and curate social media channels that feature experts presenting health and science in a clear and compelling manner. And since we are a nonprofit, all your donations are tax deductible, which helps support our mission. Please visit cyrushealth.org to learn about what we're doing and what we plan to do in the future. And if you can support us, we would greatly appreciate it. The wellness influencer playbook is pretty simple. Choose a target, usually big medicine or big pharma, strip any nuance from actual data around health, and then sell a solution that you're certain works, but that has never been tested. Those little FDA disclaimers? That just shows how scared they are of real medicine. And wellness influencers hate being challenged. They're the brave truth warriors who are challenging the system. How could anyone dare challenge them? A few years ago, today's guest decided not to take them at their word, and she's become quite effective at it. Mallory DeMille has an educational and professional background in marketing, so she's very keen on the techniques wellness influencers use to sell products, science be damned. We talked about a few instances of science being damned by these wellness influencers during this episode, along with techniques that they use, as well as red and even orange flags that you should watch out for. Like me, Mallory comes from the wellness world, so she understands the language that they weaponize. I've had the pleasure of working with Mallory over the last few years, as she is a correspondent on the Conspirituality podcast, and I also asked her to be a board member here at Cyrus Health. I always love chatting with her, so let's get into it. Mallory DeMille, why did you feel compelled to start calling out health misinformation?
When I was in my 20s, I followed a lot of really terrible, what I would consider now terrible wellness influencers. And I bought products that I didn't need. And I had a pretty unhealthy relationship with my body and food and fitness. I was being influenced to do things and believe things that I were against my own best interest and my own health and wellness. A number of years after kind of that started taking place, I began the journey of unlearning a lot of these things. I basically started making content because I wished there was more content like this when I was following wellness influencers. And so just encouraging folks to be more skeptical of folks trying to convince them of things online, especially when they're selling products to them as well.
What sort of marketing techniques are common that you identified with some of the wellness influencers you followed or have followed in more recent times?
So I think that a lot of the techniques that wellness influencers use are very similar to techniques that influencers in general would use. And so one of them is this like hero's journey or the rags to riches kind of story in the coaching industry. A lot of folks will share their own personal health journeys along with what they did and maybe didn't work, and what they did and what eventually did work for them, allegedly. And so really getting into depth of their own story, hoping that it resonates with folks. But ultimately, it does lead to this place of them trying to sell you either a program that they developed or products that they are financially affiliated with. There's like this emotional element to it of like, they're a person, they're a human, they're not like a celebrity. I always use the example of like, it's just very different from the Jennifer Aniston selling smart water to the influencer selling, you know, MLM hydrogen water. They just seem a lot more real to people online.
But then you have someone like Cheryl Hines, who is very famous, and she's hawking wellness products in kind of in a similar fashion. Have you noticed? I hear what you're saying about Jennifer Aniston, because that's going to be produced by smart water. But there are a number of celebrities who decide to spin up their own brands, and they seem to mimic the wellness influencer. Have you noticed that sort of crossover?
Yeah, I think a lot of the folks that I follow specifically are more of just like straight up influencers, or maybe those like more niche-y kind of communities that like the average person wouldn't recognize these names necessarily, but these influencers have like large followings and are within that community fairly well known. So I've kind of like inserted myself into these communities and know these folks. The marketing techniques are very similar. I think it's just when you see a celebrity, you can often draw that connection between financial interests and why they're saying what they're saying a lot easier. Like we see it more easily, I see it more easily versus just like your average person on Instagram, for example. And I think that a lot of times you can see it as they're selling something as if it's coming from the goodness of their heart. And, you know, I made this thing because I went through this journey and I don't want anyone else to go through it too. And so I think that nichier influencers, it's a lot easier to resonate with than, you know, pretty high profile celebrities. But speaking of kind of like that goodness of my own heart, there's another marketing technique as well, which is this like problem and solution marketing technique, or like it's often tied to this root cause diagnosis idea of wellness influencers. And so the technique is presenting a problem, whether it's real or made up, fabricated, and kind of within the same breath or the next breath, also selling the solution to it. And so you're setting the stage for something that folks should be aware of, concerned about, but you just so happen to have the solution from the kindness of your own heart. You're doing this for other people, including this like hero's journey and presenting the problem. Often they're tied together, gives folks a lot of reason to trust you because maybe you've been through something like that before, allegedly. But I think those are two of the biggest techniques that I see with wellness influencers.
So we have anecdotes, which I agree. We see a lot of that. It worked for me, so that it must work for you, which is completely antithetical to clinical evidence-based medicine. And then you have problem solution. Are there any other red flags that you've noticed when you're reviewing material of these wellness influencers?
Yeah, a few. And then like maybe like an orange flag, which is like almost a red flag. One of them is definitely when influencers are talking in absolutes. And so, you know, this idea of whatever they're selling or whether it's a belief system, an idea, or an actual product is the thing that can help, kind of like a cure-all. And so for me, a red flag is anyone talking in cure-alls because that lacks nuance. And I think that in order for that to be true, there would have to be no nuance, but that's just not the reality of life and of health. And so it just, to me, speaks to a lack of knowledge and education. And then along those lines would also be a lack or complete unacknowledgement of social determinants of health. And so I know we've talked about this a lot with someone like Dave Asprey, who will talk about biohacking from this idea and assumption that everyone has access to everything, but that's not the case for most people. And so if you ignore social determinants of health and, as Dave has done, call oatmeal peasant food, like that's a huge red flag for me too, because it just shows that you're not actually talking to the general population. Another red flag for me is, and this requires a little bit more work, but comparing the claims that influencers are making on social media to the disclaimers on the website selling the product. So whether or not that's the influencer's website themselves or the company that they're financially affiliated with, their website, because often the discrepancy between what the claims they're making and the disclaimer is huge. I will often point this out on like my own content because those disclaimers are there for a reason. And if they are there, I think it's a reason to be skeptical, especially if an influencer is saying, you know, for example, their product can treat a parasitic infection. And then the disclaimer says, this isn't medical advice. Our product, you know, basically hasn't been proven to do anything. Then that's what I'm going to go with. Another red flag that I have is influencers who, in pitching their product or protocol, will say it's for someone who has, quote, tried everything, because this basically means that they are pitching what they're selling to those who are most desperate for answers, which I think is pretty nefarious. And so I think that's a huge red flag. And then my orange flag is just when your entire profile is dedicated to selling products and you just have like a bunch of discount codes, because I think that would signal for me skepticism in that, like, why are you making content? Like, can I trust what you're saying if it's all financially affiliated to something?
Anytime I have to scroll on someone's link tree, that's an orange to red flag to me as well.
Yeah, and it's like 15% off this, 20%. And I get heat sometimes from folks who say, well, aren't people allowed to promote the things that they love or they like, or people should be allowed to be financially affiliated with companies? And I think so too. I agree. I think that's great. But I think it's a lot more nuanced when it's around health and wellness, because often to sell a health or wellness product, based on my observations, you first have to influence someone's beliefs around their health and wellness, and whether or not that's accurate is a different conversation. And a lot of times it has to do with like trusting experts or convincing folks that their symptoms are connected to something like a root cause that this practitioner happens to sell a protocol on. And so I think that that's, yeah, something to be skeptical of.
I would never criticize someone who came on and said, "Hey, I've tried this CBD gummy and it helped me sleep. I don't know, maybe it might work for you. Here's a link." That to me isn't so egregious that it warrants the sort of criticism that I know I do in my work and you do, but it kind of crosses the line when the medical claims start to be made.
Definitely. And I think one example of that for me is when I was making videos on a company named Happy Bum, and they make premium coffee enema kits. And so when I made a video on them, I had folks in my comments saying, "Well, I use coffee enemas every day and it saved my life." And I say, "That's great for you. If that is your lived experience and that is your true story, then all the power to you. But my problem and my issue comes with companies claiming that their products can do certain things. If you are someone who says, 'This is my experience,' I respect that. But what I don't respect is companies making claims about their products that they aren't really allowed or should be making."
And you've also featured some people. I believe one of them is Worm Queen,
Yes.
who kind of make a joke of the FDA disclaimer on their site, like, "Oh, I have to do this." And so they take something which is there for legal and medical reasons, and they're just parroting it or parodying it for their own benefit, which to me is pretty gross.
Yeah, so the Worm Queen, her name is Kim Rogers, and I've done a few videos and even a conspirituality podcast on, she was a main character on it. So she is pretty TikTok famous, sells what she would call a parasite cleanse, dubbed the Worm Queen because allegedly she knows a lot about parasites. And she has claimed that parasites are the root cause of most chronic diseases. So again, this idea of this thing is the root cause of most diseases, I just so happen to sell a supplement that can help it. But she, for a long time on her website, it described the tinctures that she sold as a parasite cleanse. And more recently, she made a video where she said the FDA came knocking on her door. She was updating her website anyway, and this newly launched website was FDA compliant. And I was disgustingly curious, and so I checked it out, and there's zero mention of parasites. There's zero mention of parasite cleanses. While her entire social media is dedicated to her products being a parasite cleanse, her website does not reflect that anymore. And so again, it comes back to this claims versus disclaimers. And I often ask myself as I'm scrolling, just like, how is this even allowed?
You've gone through a number of different red flags and orange flag for yourself, but I know that a lot of people have reached out to us at the podcast, Conspirituality, about just being confused because they're not as online as I am, and they maybe don't have the same sort of health background, which I do from the fitness world. And they are vulnerable and they admit that, and they get pulled in by these charismatic people, which is totally understandable because I too, like you, come from that world. What sort of advice would you give to people when they're scrolling that you can sort of be their own heuristics for understanding that, hey, maybe somebody's just really trying to sell me something here?
Yeah, and I will be the first to admit that I think that I am someone who is like incredibly skeptical, and there are certain things that, I have my own wellness practice that I don't share because it doesn't matter. And like that's what it is for me. But I partake in things that I think I actually have a lot in common with, the folks that I follow. In terms of like advice for being skeptical online, as someone who is incredibly skeptical, I just never assume that anyone has my best health or interest at heart until, proven otherwise. And so if someone is constantly trying to sell me things, I am certainly questionable of that. But my biggest piece of advice would, if someone is, would be if someone is saying something that sounds too good to be true, there's probably a disclaimer on their website telling you that it is. And so it's a bit more timely, but it still doesn't take that long to just check out their website, If they're trying to sell you a wellness product, maybe a protocol, and there's a disclaimer saying that it's not medical advice, basically that you shouldn't be taking advice from them, then I would believe that over what they're saying on social media.
I don't remember the moment we first connected, but you started doing this work, I think, shortly after we launched the podcast, and there was some synergy there, and we hired you as a correspondent, which has been wonderful. They're some of our best reviewed episodes. People love it when you come on. Were you surprised by the response you got when you started doing these videos?
First of all, it's very cool, and I'm incredibly grateful because I had listened to Conspirituality, your podcast, since you launched it. I became very interested at the start of the pandemic in like the conspiracy theory kind of wellness stuff. And so when you reached out about doing correspondence work and working, on episodes, I thought that was just like very cool. And so I'm very grateful for that. I'm very surprised by the response. My content kind of exists. Has existed from the start as a passion project. Again, I mentioned just wishing that there was more people talking about stuff like this when I was kind of deep into shitty wellness influencers. My Instagram specifically has grown quite a bit this year and very surprised by it, but like I'm constantly reminded of how much it resonates with folks and how it's not just me and it's not just other folks. Like it's a bit of a community of folks who are interested and calling out kind of like influencers in general, but specifically wellness and health. And I think that unfortunately, there are a lot more stories coming out now of folks who have been harmed by the wellness industry. And so I think that that deserves amplification as well. But yeah, it's entirely a passion project. I don't know what will happen next or where it will go, but I've had a lot of folks recommend me start my own podcast, which I'm sorry is probably not going to happen. I do this all in my spare time, but I also love video format, and so maybe something of a YouTube channel at some point when I have time.
Just before we started recording, and I know this won't run for a couple of weeks, but today it seems like you've launched something called Unwellness.
A few months ago, I put out a call on my Instagram looking for submitted stories that I would read off anonymously of folks who they themselves or a loved one felt preyed upon or misled or exploited by the wellness industry. And so I've had this inbox full of emails for months and just kind of waiting for the right time to sit down and record one. So today I did post the first one. It's about cancer misinformation. And a woman who submitted this story, she said it was okay if I named her. Her name is Amanda. She has her own memoir called The Sum of the Parts, which I received in the mail and I'm really looking forward to reading. I mean, the reason I kind of put that call out is because oftentimes in the wellness industry, it relies so heavily on anecdotes. And we know that anecdotes are not strong evidence, but it is a common ground that we can find in like kind of debunking or coming up against that space where if they're going to use anecdotes, then, the folks fighting misinformation can use anecdotes as well, in addition to other evidence.
Anecdotes are super important. Early in this project, researchers would tell me when I would criticize them, they're like, no, they're really important to create a foundation for clinical research. So you should always listen to anecdotes, just don't treat them like they're the ultimate truth, which I found very informative. And the reality is, we are storytelling animals, as one book goes that I read a while ago, and I can't remember the author's name, but it was a fascinating book. And we are driven by narrative, not by data. So being able to combat these influencers on the field they're playing on, I think is really relevant.
I think so too. And I'll be the first to admit I'm not a health expert. I'm not a researcher. I'm not a scientist. My background is in marketing and communications. And so when I am creating content, the scope of it is on how influencers and the wellness industry, specifically through influencers, markets itself. Just as someone who is also an average consumer, how I would go about looking at things online, everything that is super accessible to come to some sort of conclusion around whether or not I should be skeptical of it or not. And I also think too that like in terms of science communications, though I'm not a scientist, I work in communications. And so being able to tell a story or make something entertaining or funny is going to capture folks. And in terms of serving the message around misinformation and wellness, then I think that that's the part that I see playing. And it all kind of like, there's all a story to it.
And that's why your Make America Hurl Again video went viral.
Yeah, it's almost at 3 million. I sometimes feel a particular way about the videos that I spend hours on performing well and fine. But then the ones that I spend 2 seconds on and pretend to throw up on camera get almost 3 million views. And so.
That is the world we are brokering in.
And it's fine. Yeah.
Speaking of this world, last question, what are some of the wins that you've considered that you've had doing this work over the last few years?
Yeah. So I'd say in the last maybe like 18 months, there's been a handful of what I would consider wins. So the first one would be Happy Bum, this coffee enema company that I mentioned. After I made a video on them, they actually updated the disclaimer on their website. Don't know if that was tied to anything I did, but the timing was certainly a coincidence. They also acknowledged that they would update their website with resources, which I know we've both read, and it was not very compelling. But I do think that that was triggered by my video. And so I see it as a win because it required action on their part. And so even though they probably see these resources that they've uploaded as like the most compelling evidence ever to use coffee enemas for cancer, they're kind of just like telling on themselves because that's not the case. They're like linking to yoga blogs and stuff like that. So, triggering action on their part was certainly a win. Another win that I saw was there is a wellness influencer. His name is Christian. He sells various supplements, has his own coaching program, and we'll talk about slapping and sunning his balls. And so, in one of his Instagram stories, he had talked about a Shilajit that he was using. He also referenced being able to detox the vaccine from your body and that you can comment him this like code word for a link to buy this product. And so I took the screenshot of this Instagram story, posted it to, I think, Twitter at the time, and I tagged the company and I asked, does your Shilajit detox vaccines from the body? And after some kind of like back and forth, they said, no, it doesn't. And so they actually followed up with me the next day. They emailed Christian and said that it was a serious matter to make claims about products that were not true in order to sell it. And they also emailed customers that would have used Christian's discount code saying that he made this claim and it's not true. And so that was certainly a win in terms of the company actually taking action with one of their affiliates. And then probably the biggest win of all was Samantha Lotus of Vision Healing Masterclass fame in September of 2022. So she had made this bold claim online that she was hosting an $11 masterclass around how to heal your vision. And I was bored. And so I spent 15 Canadian dollars to attend. I made a TikTok. It went viral. A Twitter thread at the time that went viral, and it was referenced in the Rolling Stone, National Post, various other media outlets. It truly went viral. That was a huge surprise. To my knowledge, she was required to remove that initial masterclass because it mentioned the MLM company that she was affiliated with, and she was promoting these oils as a part of a vision healing kind of protocol. I think the win in that one is just the amount of media coverage that I got. There was essential oils, curing vision, which is a bold claim. And there was also the MLM component to it. And so that kind of like summary was featured in a lot of anti-MLM content online and just went to show how absurd all of it is. And so, yeah, I still get people in my comment section. It doesn't matter what I post, there's always someone being like, well, what about an enema? Or what about vision healing? And those are kind of like the ones that I think stick for people and what they know me from.
Thank you.